death of millions of fish in the Lower Darling late last year and early this year was due to a combination of things, including drought, excessive extraction of water in the northern part of the river, the Darling River, and the draining of the Menindee Lakes in 2017. Those are the findings of a review on the fish kill that has been released today by the Academy of Sciences. Now, the report was commissioned by the federal ALP, and our reporter Kath Sullivan has been reading through the report, and I spoke to her about the findings and the recommendations a short time ago.
Yeah, that's right, Michael. Excess upstream irrigation, drought and water releases from the Menindee Lakes have created the perfect storm, according to this report by the Australian Academy of Sciences, which was, of course, commissioned by Bill Shorten following those fish kills, and finds basically that they all contributed to the death. And it found up to millions of fish actually were killed across three events from late December until late January of this year.
Now, of course, it was commissioned by Labor, but the Academy of Science are independent. So they basically upheld what the Greens and the ALP are saying as opposed to the LNP.
Well, this is quite interesting, the fact that Labor had commissioned a review of the fish kills itself. It said that it had invited the government to participate in the study, but without a response, it forged ahead, called for this review, and then a day later, or 2 days later, Water Minister David Littleproud, in fact, announced he was commissioning his own independent scientific study of the same fish kill events. And what we've had confirmed through this report released this morning is, in fact, that this study, commissioned by Labor, dealt with the same scientific information that Rob Vertesi from the University of Melbourne has had access to for his study commissioned by the government. Now, we're expecting a preliminary report from that study on Wednesday of this week, but it is interesting that they seem to be sharing the same data, the same information, and, in fact, reviewing each other's work.
So it'd be interesting to see whether they come out with the same findings.
We hear so often that the politicians want the science to do the talking in this debate. So a lot of people will be interested to see how, if that report at all, does differ from this one.
Now, do they make any recommendations as to what should change?
There are a series of recommendations in this report today, including, I thought this was interesting, a return to the intent of the 2012 Murray-Darling Basin in a bid to avoid increasing risk of more fish kills and other environmental problems in the Darling River. The intent, Michael.
Well, that's interesting. Does that mean that they think that we've gone away from what the plan was actually saying about environmental water and where it should be, and the Darling is one area where it should have more water?
Well, that seems to be the suggestion. It's also saying that there needs to be an investment in significant knowledge gaps as the Murray-Darling Basin is implemented. So it's certainly sticking with the plan and continuing to have it implemented, but does suggest that there does need to be some significant measures before its next review, which I think is due in 2026.
And I guess the other thing is that this is what the locals have been saying about what they think of the problems in terms of, and they've actually put the spotlight, as this report does, on the water being released from the Menindee Lakes. They say twice in 4 years prematurely, and we should have held on to more of that water.
This report today does recommend that within the next 6 months, a Menindee Lakes restoration project is established. And it also calls for more community involvement and planning to restore the health to the Lower Darling, and suggests there needs to be more meaningful engagement with those communities on the river, including Indigenous peoples. So that's certainly one message that has been picked up in this report today.
Do they think that, these kills could have been avoided if some of this stuff had been put into place earlier?
That hasn't been suggested in my initial reading of this report, which, keep in mind, I just received a short time ago. But it does confirm the fact that the fish kills, or the deaths of the huge number of fish, did occur due to oxygen being taken from the water and the sudden drop in temperature during that period where we experienced extreme high temperatures in the Lower Darling. And it does say that was expected, those extreme maximum temperatures, some of the hottest on record, were expected due to climate change and climate warming, man-made climate warming. But at this stage, it hasn't I don't think Michael suggested whether or not it could have been prevented.
Now, the other issue that has been raised, and it is another question that I haven't given you any notice for, low flows, the ability of irrigators to pump when there are low flows, that has been condemned by the Indigenous communities on the Darling and also by the local landholders. Does it make any mention of that, or whether that should change some of the licence conditions that were changed a few years ago?
Well, I know that there's been a lot said since these images of the dead fish were first raised in December and last month about the regulation and the compliance of what is in fact happening upstream. But my initial reading at this stage doesn't go to that issue specifically. So that might be one to keep an eye out for, and I'll have to go and bury my head in this report and perhaps take that one on notice, Michael.
Okay, Kath, thanks for joining us on the program today.